A reading from the Gospel of Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God.'" This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene, which we Texans know is supposed to be Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. The writer Luke is saying something here right at the outset. Here he locates the events that are about to take place in all of their political and geopolitical context. He tells us who the rulers are, who is sitting on the throne in such and such a place, and who is said to have the power at such and such a time. Readers over the centuries cannot help but think of the rulers in their own time and place. This was the time when so-and-so was president, and what's his name was director of the FBI, and what's her name was head of the Department of State, and old boy was mayor of Fort Worth. But the word of God came to the one who was in the wilderness. Wilderness can be a physical place or a spiritual one, metaphorical or literal. It's a place of uncertainty and powerlessness, a place of waiting, of insecurity, of survival, of danger. It's a place of exile. I've visited the place called Qumran in Israel, where some scholars say John the Baptist may have settled amongst the Essenes while he was waiting there in the exile in the wilderness. In the Dead Sea Scrolls, we have the Essenes library. They were traditional in their ethics and aesthetic in their customs. They were obviously exiles from the religious and political establishment. the vision of Judaism they represented had been cast out. They had been cast out. So there they were, trying to survive in the wilderness. This squares well with what we know about John the Baptist. His father was a priest in the temple, but John's path took him out of the city and out of the seat of power, into the wilderness with the wild men and wild women and wild animals. Locusts and wild honey were his diet, a camel skin, his coat, a leather rope, his belt. Picture John the Baptist in this getup and imagine your college-age son coming home saying he's found his guru. See now why Jesus' family was so worried. John was not couth. He was not refined. He did not wear soft sweaters or join country clubs. John the Baptist was a prophet in the wilderness. And it was in the wilderness where he heard the word of God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain brought low, and a path for the people will be made so that they can come back home. This is the meaning of John the Baptist's ministry. He came preaching a message of the coming of a Messiah who would reverse the fortunes, level the playing fields, reset the broken order of things, and bring his people back from their exile in the wilderness. The word came to John in the wilderness, and it told him to tell his people that their exile would not last forever. We know something of what it means to be in exile, don't we? 40 years ago or so, a concerted, so-called conservative movement began to take over the Southern Baptist Convention, ending in the exit of most of the moderates and all of the progressives in our denomination. This was a grievous time for many of us as we saw so many of our churches and seminaries fall and fundamentalism rise. One vision of our religion threw out the other, and the latter had to go and learn to live in exile like the Essenes. A few years ago, Carl Kell gave me his book titled The Exiled Generations, which chronicles the legacies of what is sometimes called the Southern Baptist Convention Holy War. In the preface to the book, Carl quotes a poem by Ken Chafin, who was a pastor and professor on the moderate to progressive side, and who, for his profound convictions, found himself a part of the exiled generation. The poem is titled Rage, and it says in part, I'm angry at individual congregations who learned mindless loyalty too well, with no capacity for confrontation, lacking spiritual discernment, who can't discern a prophet from a con man, continuing to sacrifice the truth on the altar of the gods of growth and success, worshiping the handmaidens of an easy peace. I'm angry at those pastors who develop calluses on the insides of their legs from straddling fences on critical issues, who test the winds before setting their goals, guided more by ambition than deep conviction. I'm angry at myself for being too slow in discerning the danger, for not upsetting more people with the painful truth and keeping them upset until they had to act, for worrying too much what others thought, for fretting too much about doors which closed. John the Baptist never worried too much about what others thought. He was no pastor with calluses between his legs. He was a prophet and a teller of painful truths. He refused to say peace, peace, where there was no peace. And for that, the door was closed, and John was sent out into the wilderness. But it was in the wilderness. It was in the wilderness where the word of God came to John. And it was in the wilderness where he began to preach it. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. In other words, those who are in power now will not always be so. And though there is corruption now, that will one day be set right. And though there are those in exile now, one day, they will find their way back home. We are in many ways an exiled generation. Many of you have been exiled from other churches. Our church was exiled from our denomination. Many of us feel spiritually exiled from the zeitgeist of our nation. What happened first in the church has now happened all across our country. A crookedness has set in, part fundamentalist, part fascist, part hedonist. Greed is good. The dollar is God. Con men are prophets. Entertainment is everything. Conscience is the price we pay for an easy peace. And when it comes to how we treat people, well, Bob Cratchit is a loser, Tiny Tim is a throwaway, and Ebenezer Scrooge is a strong candidate for either Congress or the cabinet. Basic Christian ethics are in exile. Compassion is in exile. Concern for the common good is in exile. The mountains get taller and taller, and the valleys grow lower and lower, and the wilderness just gets wilder and wilder. And yet, it is into the wilderness that the Word of God comes. And with full prophetic power and moral vision, it says the mountains will be made low and the valleys lifted up and the crooked made straight and the rough way in Greek, hodos, will be made plain. It will no longer be an ex-hodos, exile, but an eis-hodos, a way of coming back home. And our vision of God and the things of God are in exile now, and we are in exile. But the Word of God comes to us in the wilderness telling us not to give up hope and to not keep planning for peace. Get ready, it says, for when the Messiah comes, he will move mountains and lift up valleys, and all flesh is going to see it together. Many of us have traveled to see the majestic mountains of the Colorado Rockies, towering 14,000 feet above sea level. They are really something to behold, but mighty as they are today, they were once even mightier. Two times mightier, in fact. Over the ages, however, the high places have been brought low through erosion, and the low places, like the plains of West Texas, have been brought high by all the silt and sediment washed down from above. So the mountains are being brought low and the valleys are being raised up. You know what this means? Lubbock is on the rise. And all of the other lowly places and people also. The mountains of this world will be washed to the sea. And the valleys will be raised up above the earth. So said the Word of God when it came to John the Baptist in the wilderness. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. And so says it to us also, this very day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, mother of us all, and together all of God's people do say, Amen.